Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you for the people who came out this morning to sit in your presence, to eat fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, I'm asking that for the duration of this service today, that your angelic host go to and fro throughout your sanctuary, ministering to the people's needs. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the songs we sang went along with God told me to when I asked him what to teach on, he said, God is forever faithful. Well, he said, I am forever faithful. So I put it, God is forever faithful. And the songs, I hope that you listen to what you were singing, because it's all about how wonderful God is and what he wants to do for us. Now, we all know that we're in very trying times. If you don't know that, I'm giving you a little clue. We are in very trying times, and the enemy is fighting us tooth and nail. The worst thing you could possibly do is quit. Well, I'm just going to stay home. Well, you go ahead and stay home, because when the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When you stay home, what happens is you become lethargic, and little by little, the enemy steals your anointing and even your salvation. God is getting ready to move in a mighty way. But are God's people really ready? Are you really committed to what he wants to do? I'm hearing so much from people who want to quit. They're discouraged. They're hopeless. You know, they're sickly. The finances are really bad. Whatever it is, it's there, right? But the worst thing you could do is quit. Now, I was reading yesterday where they're arguing about the music in the house of God. You know, and they are saying, though, that the old-fashioned churches are going to have to update their music a little bit if they expect to keep people in the house of God. Now, and I'm reading where there's Christians after Christians being killed, you know, overseas. They're just being slaughtered right and left. But in the process of all that, I'm also hearing where there's small revivals breaking out all across the land. And God said when the gross darkness came, his glory would come also. And he would take care of us. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the devil, or are you going to believe God? The other day God said to me, your body is lying to you. So am I going to believe God, or am I going to believe my body? I don't care what I feel, what I'm going through. God said, I'm healed. Or you understand what I'm saying here? So it doesn't, you know, if my body's lying to me, then your body's lying to you too. And God is the great healer. And our problem in the body of Christ is we are believing the circumstances or the symptoms, and we're not standing by faith on what God is telling us. Now, if God hasn't told you to stand by faith on a healing or whatever it is, your finances or whatever, then you can't do that. But whatever, you seek God's face first, and then you do whatever God's telling you to do. I don't want to get my evening's message, so we'll just go on with the days, all right? All right, God is forever faithful. The United States Marine Corps has an interesting motto. It's Semper Fidelis. And that means always faithful. It is really the code of conduct and character of the gallant soldiers of the Corps. It is the description of their loyalty and a definition of their lives as Marines. It is supposed to be their driven purpose as honorable and dedicated soldiers to this branch of the service, always faithful. Now, this is what we should be too. We should be always faithful to God as God is always faithful to us. The word tells us the very same thing about God in an infinitely greater way. Psalm 111 verse 3 says, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. As I was sitting there, we was doing praise and worship, God said, the problem with the body of Christ is when they first start out, they're like little children and they just gobble up my word. But then they get older and they get the intellect going, and you know, and then they all of a sudden are too big for the little children thing. And God says we should come to him as little children. And you know, and then as he said it, I thought, you know what? The longer I'm in this and the more I study, the more I, you know, the word is coming so clear. And I find myself getting out of my little children stage too. And I don't like that. I liked it when I came to him as a little child, just believing, not trying to figure everything out, not even knowing everything, just reading the word and just doing what I said you should do, and how great signs and wonders and miracles followed. But then when you read the word and you start breaking it down, then you get that intellect going, and then all of a sudden here goes your anointing, and you're too busy trying to figure out exactly the right way to decipher the word. And God wants us to come back to him as little children. All right, God, I don't care, you know, what anybody says. The word says, or I'll just say, I'm healed. The word says you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, therefore you can supply, and your word says you'll supply all my needs. That's all we need to know, right? We don't need to decipher it. We don't need to tear it down. We don't need to say, well, the Hebrew says this and the Greek says that and somebody else says this. We just need to know what the word of God says and follow it. All right? All right, then Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 93, verse 1 and 2, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. God is that he is that he is. And somebody in my house, I think it was one of the little boys, said, well, where did God come from? I said, I don't even want to go there. I really don't care. I just know that he is. Why do we have to know all that? All right. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Lamentations 3, 19. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now let's start this again. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This is how he's feeling, but then he says, then I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, he's recalling. This is, no matter what's going on in my life, this is who you are. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, if we would just get these scriptures and, you know, just read them for what they say and not try to break them down and you know, say, well, this word in the Greek means this and it really doesn't mean that. I think that's when confusion steps in. And I believe that that's when the enemy comes in and says, well, you know, did the word really say this? Did the word really say that? Yes, it did really say this and it really did say that. God is good all the time, not every now and then. Psalm 89, verse 1. A contemplation of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And then it says, think about that. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? You know, he asked that question, and you have to think about what happened to Satan when he tried to be God. So why would you even try to compare yourself to God? Let that sink in. You're not God. God is God. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. He says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you? There's nobody like our God. when I first came on the scene, the people said, well, you really shouldn't be doing that, and you really shouldn't be doing this. But you know what? God told me to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm not listening to man. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Father, because I know I hear the voice of the Father. This is why God has been telling you, you have to hear my voice. If I don't care who the prophet is, a prophet could lead you astray. You need to hear God's voice for yourself, and then anything else you hear is a confirmation. It's like the other night, some lady stopped me out there in the hallway, and she said, this black man came up and spoke to me. And everything he said was exactly what's going on in my life, and I've never been here before. So what was that all about? Well, the black man was Brother Christopher prophesying to her. But anyhow, it really got her enthusiastic. It really made her sit up and take notice. And she was excited by the time she left. All right? So you see, if you're really, really in tune to God, then when God speaks to somebody through you, it's going to be something that nobody else knows. And it's going to get their attention. They're going to know that they know that they know that God is in the room. All right. I know when I first came on the scene, they would say, you have to go to the, you have to come to the service. One night I was there till 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I started at 7. They kept bringing the people. You have to come. You have to come. She knows all about your life. You know, I didn't know nothing. And I looked at the line, never ended, but God gave me strength. And you know, and these people just kept coming, and God kept speaking to them. And this is how it should be. It should be that whenever the news should be spread abroad to prophets in town or the evangelists in town. And the reason why it should be spread abroad is because what you are doing is being a vessel for God to speak through, and the people know it cannot be anybody but God. All right? Come on now. It's about time the body of Christ quits trying to be God and we be who we truly are, and that's vessels of honor that God can work through. If you would just yield yourself to God, God will be faithful to you, and God will use you. And as he uses you, then that faithfulness that he's given to you is going to be poured out into somebody else. I'm hearing God say, somebody has to stay in the mainstream. Somebody has to be available at all times for me to work through. And God's been trying to train you people up to be that person that is available 24/7. Like the other night, I was laying there, and God said, I want to talk. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was really tired, not feeling good. He says, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. He said, but you have to get up. And I said, oh God, do I really have to get out of bed? I'm not going to speak to you. Get up. So I laid her a little bit. He said, I guess you don't want to hear what I have to say, do you? And I said, all right, I'm getting up. And so then when I went after, he said, I wanted to see how obedient you would be. But then he did talk to me. But see, I could have just said, well, I'm just not going to get up. And I would have never heard the things that God spoke to me that night. How many of you might have already done that? Well, I just talk to me while I'm laying here. I don't want to get up. No, he wants you to get up. He wants you to do that sacrifice and take the steps out to your computer so you can sit down and type. All right. You know, do you know how much fun you can have with God? And I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. You know, you've been ministering to people and ministering to people and ministering to them and being an example, and they've been putting you down and say, oh, I don't want to hear none of this God stuff. Then all of a sudden, just like yesterday, somebody came to me and said, what is God saying about me right now? And I said, looked at them, and I said, well, I thought you didn't believe in this God stuff. I said, come on, you know I do. What is he saying? I said, you know, I really do have a prophetic word for you. And I pulled up and gave it to them. But see, I just stayed firm. I did not compromise. I stood my ground, no matter how much they criticized and ridiculed me. And this one person come and said, what is God saying about me? See, I'm telling you, stand your ground. Don't compromise. Know that you know that you know that you're hearing from God, and then just stand your ground. And it wasn't easy to stand my ground. It would have been much easier for me to compromise so everybody would love me and everybody would quit talking about me behind my back. But I can't do that. Neither can you. You can't either. You don't have the option to compromise. You really don't. You have to be steadfast always in all things. All right? The church is going through a tremendous amount of pain, hurts, fear, frustrations, tears, and testings. Even though there may exist within our community of faith crises that are critical, challenges that are choking our faith, and trials that might make us sometimes even question or doubt, our God is unfailing in faithfulness. He is forever faithful. And let's read that again. I said the church is going through a tremendous amount of pain, hurts, fear, frustration, tears, and testings. And we can all say amen to that, because that is the truth. Even though there may exist within our community of faith crises that are critical, you know, in this church, we have, some of us are in a crisis that's critical. All right? Challenges that are choking our faith, we're, some of us are there too. And trials that might make us sometimes even question or doubt, and there's some there too. Our God is unfailing in faithfulness. He is forever faithful. All right, Brother Christopher is going through a trial right now. And, you know, and I'm trying to get my study revamped. And so I had to get all my books revamped. And I picked up a Katie Zosa book, and it fell open to a page. And so I just started reading it. I wasn't reading the books. I was too busy, trying to get it cleaned up. And it said in there, she said, if your soul is wounded, your finances will be destroyed. If you have a soul wound, your finances will be destroyed. Well, I picked up the phone, you know, and I called real quick. And then as I called and said what was in the book, then God started saying other things. And we got some revelation knowledge about how to get our finances straightened out. So see how God works? We use this word faithfulness to describe. So what I'm saying is God is faithful to Brother Chris. You know, even to me, because I got gleaned some stuff out of that too. He was faithful to him in his deep valley that he's in. He was faithful. He had me pick up that book. And it fell up into that page. And it answered the questions that he had in his mind. God is always faithful. It doesn't matter how he comes through. He's always faithful. We use this word faithfulness to describe God all the time, and unfortunately, whenever we use a word over and over again, we often tend to forget what it means. You hearing? This is a true meaning of faithfulness when it is used to describe our Heavenly Father. When we say that God is faithful, we are saying that everything He says and does is certain. We are saying he is 100% reliable, 100% of the time, that he says what he means and means what he says, and therefore does everything he says he will do. We are saying that God does not fail, forget, falter, or disappoint ever. Let's read that again, because some of you need to know this. When we say that God is faithful, we are saying that everything he says and does is certain. You can take it to the, God always tells me, it's either written in stone or you can take it to the bank. That's two things he always tells me, all right? We are saying he is 100% reliable, 100% of the time, that he says what he means and means what he says, and therefore does everything he says he will do. We are saying that God does not fail, forget, falter, or disappoint ever. We need to understand bound up in the inherent meaning of this word is the fact that all this never changes. God never ceases to be faithful. He is not just faithful, he is forever faithful. You guys on the street, God just tell you, you need to tell the people on the street that God is forever faithful. Even though other people have forgotten them or cast them aside, God knows who they are. He knows them by name, and he's ever faithful, and he's going to bring them through. You know, people on the street need hope. And I'm hearing God say people on the street need challenges too. You need to challenge them. Do you really want, you know, something better in life than this? Are you listening here? Economy changes, governments change, countries change, cities and neighborhoods change, churches change, parenting changes, and bodies change. Looking at all this, the only thing that stays constant in our world is change. And God's been trying to change the body of Christ. He's been telling us, I'm trying to change you. I'm trying to get you out of your old mindset and put you in a new mindset. And as we stated, in the midst of all this turmoil, the fact that God's faithfulness is constant, the fact that he does not change, is an anchor. I don't know about you, but I count on my God to not change. I count on when he tells me something that it is the truth, and I can take that to the bank. There's a member of my family that is not taking care of their health, and I finally, Friday, I was with him alone, and I told him, I said, you're dying, and it's up to you whether or not you live or die. Then they got all radical with me, you know, and, well, my blood work's coming back, blah, blah, fine, and this and that. I said, I don't care about your blood work. I'm telling you what God's been telling me for the last 6 months. You're dying. And it's up to you whether you live or die. That night, she put herself in the hospital. Now she's back at AI DuPont, very sick. And what she said was to her husband, my mom said to me today, see, and she got up on my face, was very upset that I said, I don't care if you get mad at me or not. I'm warning you that God has told me, and I believe God. I don't care about blood work. I believe God. Are you listening here? You know, man lies, blood tests lie, but God does not. He's ever faithful. All right, his faithfulness is something, God's faithfulness is something we can hold on to. How many times, do you know how many times I said to God, God, you said you were going to restore my youth. God, you said you were going to heal my body. I know that God has said it, and I hold on to that. And he told me just last night, he said, your body is lying to you. So God, I don't care what's going on in my body. God has said you're healed. See? And he's constant, and he doesn't change. And he keeps telling me the same thing over and over and over again. And so I don't believe what my body's saying. I believe what God's saying. He's everlasting. He's always been faithful to me, and he always will. All right? The trouble with some of you is you don't hear God's voice properly because you still have that pride in you, and you still think that you know more than God does. And then when God's speaking, you sort of shut out what you don't want to hear and just receive what you want to hear. And that's not good. All right, God's faithfulness is something to hold on to. Isn't it good to know that God does not change? Isn't it reassuring to know that, as Spurgeon once wrote, there are no furrows on God's eternal brow. No age has palsied him. No years have marked him with mementos of their flight. All right? God just doesn't change. He's just the same. Wouldn't you love to be God and never grow old? Always be the same. No, I don't want to be God, but wouldn't it be nice to be like God and never, is what I should have said, and never grow old. All right? All right, God is the same. He is changeless. In fact, since God is perfect, any change would have to be for the worse. God's perfection is like standing on the North Pole. The only direction you can walk is south. Any change would make God less than faithful, less than perfect. So it is indeed a wonderful, comforting truth that yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. How many times has God spoke that to you through a prophetic word? He is absolutely consistent to his character and personhood. How many times has God said to you, like he said to me, he said, I'm not going to change. You're the one that's going to have to change. How many times have he said that to you? He says that to me quite a bit when I'm trying to convince he needs to do something that I want him to do. He said, I'm not going to change. You're the one that's going to have to change. So quit trying to get him to do what you want him to do. It's not going to work. All right, think of it. This means God's strength never wanes. God never says, I'm feeling strong today, because he is faithful to always have unlimited power. This tells me that if I ever need a strong hand to hold, I can know that I'll always find one in God. How many times has God says, take my hand and follow me? How many times he says, crawl up in my lap and just lay your head upon my bosom? So he's telling you, in me and through me, I have all power and all authority. But if out there all by yourself, you have nothing, and you are nothing. Max Lucado writes, think of it. This is what he says. God never pauses to eat or ask the angels to cover for him while he naps. He never singles a time out or puts the prayer request from Russia on hold while he handles those from South Africa. Catch God in a bad mood won't happen. Fear exhausting his amazing grace, a sardine will swallow the Atlantic first. Think he's given up on you? Never. Ever worry that if you go to him, you'll find him in an unreceptive mood? Not God. Lovers call you one today and scorn you tomorrow. Companies follow pay raises with pink slips. Friends applaud you when you drive a classic and dismiss you when you drive a dud. Not God, he is always the same. And James 1:17 says there is not even a shadow of a change in God. The devil changes all the time, you dummies that follow him. You know, he has about the most messed up mind I've ever seen. And when I watch people that follow him, I think, is there something wrong with your mind? It is. It's captivated by the enemy. But why would you follow the devil who doesn't know where he's going himself? And well, near you could follow God who knows all things, has all power and all authority, and he only wants the very best for your life. Even the name for himself that he gave to Moses proclaims this fact. God is I am, not I will be or I was, but I am. Now, how many times has God said to you, I am that I am that I am? And he emphasizes the I am. So he's saying, I am not I will be or I was, but he's saying, I am. A declaration to both God's self-existence and eternal changelessness. You know, he's just not going to change, guys. You're going to have to do the changing. Why? What makes you one day want to serve God and be with the saints, and the next day say, I'm not going to be with them, I'm going to sit home? What makes you do that? The devil. The devil. You see, you're letting the devil just warp your brain and put confusion in there. There's strength in numbers, is there not? And when we come together in one mind and one accord, we just tear all hell apart. But when you're sitting at home, I don't know who's doing this, but somebody is. Maybe somebody's listening. But when you're sitting at home all by yourself, you're all by yourself. I read the word and I watch Christian TV. That is not what God said. He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do you know how many times my knee was really hurting me that I didn't even want to get dressed? It was a chore to get dressed, and I didn't want to drive here and sit here with pain surging through my knee, but I knew if I sat at home, it wasn't going to get any better. It was going to get worse. There's healing power in the presence of your friends, and God is in the house. Amen? I lost my place. All right, in his book, The Holy Wild, Mark Buchanan writes, faithfulness is by definition the predictable, the habitual, the sturdy, the routine. Faithfulness is by definition the predictable. So we can predict God is not going to change, all right? The habitual, the sturdy, the routine. It is the evidence of things seen, but seen so often we've grown blind to them. It is a substance of things expected so unthinkingly that we now take them for granted. We don't even honor God, is what he's saying anymore. We become numb to God. And we just say, all right, God, you take care of me and I'm going to do my thing. That isn't how it works. You don't do your thing and expect God to take care of you. God's calling you to holiness. He's calling you to righteousness. He's calling you to peace. He's calling you to love. Now, you have to do that because he's not going to change. He's not going to say, oh, well, you know, Aaron, you don't have to love today. You know, you can go and get angry today if you don't. You don't have to walk in peace. That's not God. That's the devil. All right. Frankly, faithfulness bores us. Think of it. Who among us leaped up this morning as the sun rose, exclaiming, look, look, everybody, look, the sun, here it comes. Wow. Let's read that again. You weren't expecting that. So let's read that again. Frankly, faithfulness bores us. Think of it. Who among us leaped up this morning as the sun rose, exclaiming, look, look, everybody, look, the sun, here it comes. Wow. I looked at the clock on my ceiling. I said, oh, it's time to get up. Amen? Come on. Or who ran through the house shouting, ha, behold, air, clean air, fresh air to fill my lungs, air to shape my words and to move the clouds, air to lift the birds. Who does this? I didn't. See that? Some of you don't see the humor in all this, do you? Think of David when he was a young boy. First came the lion, and God was faithful and helped him to... You know, my grandson Jimmy is really having a hard time breathing right now, and I'm going to call the doctor tomorrow and say he needs oxygen. And so as I was sitting writing this last night, he come in, and he couldn't hardly make it to my room, and he was saying, I need you to come help me. I couldn't do anything for him, but he was scared, you know. And so, you know, he would love to run through the house and say, fresh air. You know, I can breathe. You know, I can talk. You know, and he's no longer taking his breathing for granted. But we all do. We all take our breathing for granted. And since I'm working on just one lung, I'm taking my breathing for I believe and I know that air is good. Are you listening here? Come on. Don't sit there and act like you're all pious. You just don't understand what's going on around about you. I think of David when he was a young boy. First came the lion, and God was faithful and helped him to defeat and kill the lion. And then came the bear, and God gave him strength as a young shepherd boy, and he killed the bear. And then when his father forgot him and left him out in the field when Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel, and David was left out there all alone, but God saw him, and God knew him, and God did bring him in. God was faithful to him even when he was left alone by his own family. Then there was the giant-killing thing when David came up against the great champion of the Philistines, and God was faithful and enabled him with a few stones and a slingshot to kill the mighty giant. You know, God wants me to teach you this because you're going to have to know that your God is forever faithful. With everything, he told me to stop and tell you this. With everything that's coming down the road, and if you're reading the news, there's a whole lot of things happening, and they're really a confirmation of what God told me 15 years ago, that it's going to be bad. And you're going to have to know that your God is unchanging. You have to know that your God is faithful. And you're going to have to know that you know what God told you he's going to do for you when all this darkness hits the ground. Come on. Then there was that episode in David's life when the crazy king Saul began to chase him down, trying to kill him, turning David into a fugitive. And David was a future king. So many of the passages we read in the Psalms have to do with this period in David's life when he was running for his life, when he was wondering, God, what are you doing? If you read the Psalms, this is what was going on. God, are you going to take care of me? And God was always faithful to David. David always experienced God's faithfulness. Some of you are going to say, God, are you going to take care of me in the days ahead? You know, the economy is dropping, gas is going up, all kind of things are happening. You're going to have to know that your God will supply your needs. You're going to have to know that. You might be living high on the hog right now, but there's coming a day whenever things are going to get rough. And you're going to have to know that God told me to teach us, so it must be coming really soon. And I hope you really listen to what you're being told this morning. And then God raised David up and put him on the throne just as he promises he would. And God was faithful in giving David the kingdom. Then everything was wonderful until the scandal with Bathsheba. And you wonder, will God's faithfulness end for David? Will David fall out of the faithfulness of God? Will David fall out of the grace of God because of his great sin? And yet we discover God pardoned him. So some of you might have done something and you're wondering, God, have I fallen out of your grace? God, can you ever forgive me for what I've done? If God did it for David, he'll do it for you. When David came and repented in faith, God delivered him from his sin. Okay, so there's a little clue. You have to do that. When David came and repented in faith, God delivered him from his sin. There were consequences as in all disobedience, and yet God was faithful. Even when he fell, and he fell hard, but when, you know, God was still faithful to David when he fell with Bathsheba. But when he fell, he did not fall out of grace. He fell into grace. He fell into the faithfulness of God because the scripture said, when we fail, God doesn't fail. When we fall, God never fails to perform. When we are faithless, God is faithful still. David discovered that every step of the way. David's a really great character in the Bible, and really, I think everybody should become familiar with David and what David did and how God saw him through each and every trial that he went through, and learn of God's faithfulness to David. All right? You might be thinking, I wish God would be faithful to me like that. The very same covenant God had with David is your covenant and my covenant. See, I know that God loves me. And that's why I can go through what I go through. But some of you don't know that God even loves you enough to be with you when he puts you through the valley. It's God that allows you to go through the valley. It's God that allows you to go through the test and the furnace of affliction. It's God that does. He allows this. And the only way you can go through this is if you understand God's faithfulness, that he never leaves you nor forsakes you, that he's always right there holding your hand, walking through that thing with you. Now, some things we bring upon ourselves. I'm not talking about that, all right? Perhaps you are here today and secretly wonder if God is really faithful. You feel like God is mad at you. You feel like you're in the dark. You feel like God is against you. You have mental and physical pain. You can't find release. Your prayers are not being answered. People don't understand you. You're ready to give up. Your hope is gone. That's going on in the body of Christ right now. And that's nothing wrong with that, because God is testing us and he's trying us to our very limits, because what we're facing, we have to be strong towers that others can run into. There can't be any weak bone in our body. We have to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And you know, sometimes they say, God, and I've done this, God, I'm your child, and you say that you love me. Why are you allowing me to go through this? Character. And my daddy started teaching me at a young age. He said, Barbie, if you don't have character, you don't have anything. And he taught me about character at a very young age with a belt. Okay? When I stole a penny from him. And from that day on, he taught me about character. But I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. And aren't you glad that your Father in heaven loves you enough that he's teaching you character? And he's trying to bring you through that furnace of affliction so that you aren't crippled and maimed. When you go through the furnace of affliction, you come out the other end stronger than when you went in. While it is okay to be honest with God and express your real feelings like the prophet Jeremiah did in our scripture that we read earlier, it is not okay to stay there. I'm sorry, you guys are stuck in that hole. You need to get out of the hole. It's not okay to stay there. Jeremiah had every reason to sing the blues and just pitch his faith, but he didn't. He forced himself to think about God's character. In particular, he grabbed onto his faithfulness. And let's read Lamentations 3 again. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, this is what he was recalling about God. And because he recalled that, he did not stumble and fall. He did not stay in his pit. But the reason why you all stay in your pit, you get your pity parties, and you just, I might as well keep right on sinning. Get out of here. You want to sin. Don't blame it on God. And the reason why you do that is because you don't even understand faithfulness in your own life, let alone God's faithfulness, right? If you ever watch people, the dumb things they do is, you know, against God is what they're doing to their own selves. And they're blaming God for it. You need to get your character readjusted. You need to get your thought life realigned with God's mindset. All right? And he went on to say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is Jeremiah's portion. Not the next door neighbor, not his daddy or his friends, but the Lord is his portion. I don't rely on anybody. I don't, except God. Because people have proven to me they will fail you. I'm not saying that I don't trust you. It doesn't say that I don't use people, you know, to do things for me. But I'm saying I ask you to do something, but I trust on God that he'll see it done properly. Are you understand what I'm saying here? You know, sometimes we put, I have found out, okay, I give you an assignment, Grace. And when I give you an assignment, then I walk away because that's your assignment and I expect you to carry it through. 2 months down the road, I find out Grace didn't carry out her assignment. And then now I've got a mess. And so then said, now we have to regroup. So when I give anybody an assignment, I didn't hurt your feelings by using you, did I? Okay. All right. So now I find out when I give somebody an assignment, I follow up. Because if I don't follow up, you know, then I have a problem. Are you understanding this? But when God gives me an assignment, he can walk away because he knows that I'm going to carry that thing through. That's the kind of character that you need to have so that anybody gives you an assignment, they don't ever have to think about, is it going to be done? Because they know that it's going to get done. Are you understanding this? They shouldn't have to say, I wonder what they're doing with this. It's your job and you should be able to do it. So the clear word today is never give up. Is that right, Matt, or did I miss something? All right. People fail, but God doesn't. They betray you, but God won't. He is forever faithful, and he won't leave you alone. People can forget about you and take you for granted, but not God. Believe me, God never takes you for granted. He doesn't. He loves you. You're precious in his sight. And he weeps when he sees the enemy taking you for a trip you shouldn't go on. He really does. He loves you. He is your father, and he will hold you in his arms for the rest of your life. If you don't believe that, then you're in trouble right now. He is your father, and he will hold you in his arms for the rest of your life. So the clear word today is never give up. Never give up on God. Never give up on God because he never gives up on you. He is faithful, always faithful, and forever faithful. You know, like I told you one time when I thought I had sinned, I didn't, but I thought I did in my stupidity. And I didn't talk to God for 3 days. And one day I said, oh, God. And he laughed. I've been waiting 3 days to talk to you. See, he did not give up on me, even though I gave up on myself and thought I wasn't worthy to talk to him. You see this? Never feel like that you've sinned so bad that you can't talk to your father. If you think you've done something that you shouldn't do, that's the time you should go to your father. That's the time you need to be talking to him. Don't walk away from him because he's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to reassure you that everything is okay, that he's forever faithful, and he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to forsake you. You know, if you think about Katie Sousa, you know, she was a mess, wasn't she? In her drugs and everything else, you know, and shooting people and this and that and the other. But look, even though she did all that and went to prison, God was faithful and God kept her. She said she spent a lot of time in that room where they lock you up and nobody else is in there except you. But yet God kept her. He kept her sound mind. And look what he's doing there now. He's using her. He allowed her to go through all that so he could use her right now to minister to us. Isn't that awesome? But she went through a lot of mess, didn't she? Just so God could use her to minister to his people. So what are you fussing about? So if you're going through a lot of mess, it's because God is strengthening you so he can use you to minister to this group of people that's going to come into the house of God. And this group of people's messed up. If you don't believe that, try ministering for a couple of years, just one person. And just you sit and shake your head and say, why can't you comprehend what I'm saying to you? Finally, they said, I really believe you now, and now everything you say I'm going to do from this day forward. He told me a week ago, and they are everything I tell them they do. Because they said, I finally realized you do hear God's voice, and you only tell us the truth. But it took 2 years for this to come to about. You see this? So it doesn't, but how long did it take me to come to grips with some things God was telling me? Remember 30-some years ago, 1977, somebody said to me in the prayer group, Barbara, do you know how much God loves you? Cocky. I said, sure I do. And he was crying. He said, no, you don't, but one day you will. 30 years down the road, I'm just starting to learn, you know, just started to learn how much God really did love me. And each day I find out he loves me more than I ever thought he would. Each day is a new day. And each day I need his love more than I did yesterday. And each day I find out he's always there, holding my hand, urging me to go on and not to give up. And when I sit down, he'll say, come on. You pick yourself up. You can do this thing. Keep going. I'm with you. How many of you can go out and encourage somebody else to do that? That you know in your knower that God is always faithful and he's going to be there for you no matter what goes on. And the anointing will come out of you. And as you speak to people, they'll understand that he'll do the same for them he's done for you. Are you listening? Now, guys, you know, the anointing is going to have to be so strong in you that when you speak a word, it's going to make people sit still and be quiet. I'm going to use an example because God was bringing a salt to my mind last night. I was laid in bed about, I went to the nursing home and the nurse said, they're going to give you a fit. I said, well, that's okay. We just came here to minister to them. And she put all these older people in this room. And they come down a little bit later and looked in the window. And then we was all finished. They said, what did you do to them? They didn't say a word. All those old people sat there very, very quietly, didn't move. Remember that? Didn't move. What did you do to them? I didn't do anything, but guess who did? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit arrested them in their seat, and they listened to everything that I preached that day. And that isn't the only time it happened. One time, Brother Allen came into the church, all right? Sat in that chair back there, and I thought, what is wrong with him, God? He just sits there, and he's just staring at me. And then later on, he said that the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and arrested him, and he couldn't move. But he's not the only one that's done it. See what I'm saying? You have to be that committed to God that the Holy Spirit will come out of you, and it will arrest people, and they will listen to what you have to say. All right. And even when you go in the streets, you know, people might not at that given time might say they don't want God. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit has been doing them the whole time you've been speaking to them. You know, so we just go forth knowing that God's faithful. He sent you on this street ministry. So he's faithful to be with you. And he's going to do the work that needs to be done. Whether you see it at that moment or not, the work is being done that God wants done. So wherever God is telling you to go, go. Do what God's telling you to do. Do the work he's telling you to do because the anointing will be there. I was sitting there as we used to on praise and worship and we're still doing the disc or whatever they are and call those things. And I said, God, so many people have come through these doors and you called them to be psalmists and to be praise and worship leaders, but they went back out into the world or they just flat won't do what you ask them to do. We should have a whole whatever you call them, people up here. We shouldn't be using, you know, the DVDs. But people will not yield to what God's calling them to do. And they'd rather go out there and work for the devil than they would work for God. So that's up to you what you're going to do. Is God faithful or is he not? Is he going to bring you through or is he not? Are you going to trust him when it gets gross dark out there or are you not? Bad times are coming. They're talking about, you know, Iowa had all those tornadoes Thursday. They're talking about all these volcanoes are getting ready to erupt at one time. Are you listening to all this? Are you really looking to see what's going on? You know, there's people in Iowa just sitting there saying, one second I had everything, and now I have nothing. 27 touchdown in one day. That's a lot of tornadoes, a lot of damage. That could happen right here in Delaware. Are you ready for it? I'm getting into my evening message. So anyhow... Is God faithful or is he not? I want you to really sit and think about, see, God made me do this years ago. I had to stop and think about my life from when I could remember on because he said, you need to understand what I've done to you, done for you up to this point. And maybe some of you need to do that. Maybe you need to stop and think, you know, from back when you can remember what you went through and how you came through it and understand that God was with you all that time to bring you to this place and this time. Ethan, God brought you to this place and this time. He let you go back and think about all the things you went through. It was God that kept you. He was faithful to you because now is your time to work for him. Are you understanding this? Now is our time, saints. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for your message on faithfulness, your faithfulness. And Father, right now, we just give you full reign and rule in this place. We ask you, Father God, to come and meet us at our place of need. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God said, I'm going to take my big syringe and I'm going to suck out all that negativity out of you. And I want to put a positive anointing within inside of you, that you will know, that you know, that you know, that I will be faithful to you for the rest of your life. Not just one or two days, but for the rest of your life that you remain on this earth. I'm going to be faithful to you, and whatever I call you to do, I will be there with you. The altar is open for that anointing, to understand that God wants to suck out all that negative stuff you have in your brain, and then he wants to give you that positive anointing that you know that you know that you know that God will always be with you. If he's called you, he said he's going to equip you.